Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we are going to basically start out here with what sounds like a ridiculous question. It's going to sound like it's probably, hopefully, a question that you've never thought of. Yeah. And it is deeply connected to research that was published in Cologne, Germany recently by a scientist there, Anna Petzold. We're going to talk with her in just a few minutes. But first, we wanted to get this question out.
Yeah, what is more important to you, food or sex? So when it comes to your drives, your needs to eat or to have sex, if you had a hierarchy of those, what's at the top? What's most important?
And right now, that's a binary question. We're kind of posing it like you have to take one, but what shifts that equation? In what scenario would you be forced to confront your need for food with your need for something very different? So, to answer that question, we wanted to start with normal Germans to see where they stood, and we're trying to figure out, okay, where's the best place to ask Germans about how they feel about food and how they feel about a flirtatious social interaction that might lead to something.
Normally we go into the Center of Bonn to do these, to talk to Germans on the street. Today we went to a shopping mall.
Oh, the food court.
The food court of a shopping mall over on the other side of the river in a little German town right where you live, right?
Yeah.
Siegburg, Germany. It felt very American to me.
Technically, this was in St. Augustine.
Sorry to
be a stickler on
it
that
felt,
one.
It felt very, very American to me, these gigantic spaces of consumerism.
Yeah, the shopping mall. They exist.
Space.
They exist in Germany. They're kind of nice, I don't know. It depends if you like them. They're not going to have some of the things that our North Americans will assume are in every shopping mall. To my everlasting sadness, there's no Cinnabon.
No, there's no Orange Julius. Or Sbarro's Pizza or Rocky Rococo's Pizza. Those are some of the restaurants.
Mrs. Fields Cookies? No, these are...
This place had three choices. They had, like, Turkish, Thai, and Subway.
Subway, the way a sandwich should be made. or should be... No, so these were the options that Germans were presented with up in this food court on a weekday, a work day at lunchtime. They were coming in hungry.
Yeah.
And we talked...
That was the point. We wanted to talk to hungry Germans or Germans who have just eaten, because the question was, what's more important, food or a flirt?
I don't know. It depends on how hungry I am. So if I'm really hungry, I would go for food. And if I'm not very hungry, then maybe I would go talk to him first, and then maybe we are eating together, maybe.
So you would take the risk of letting... that flirt get away just because you want to go and get your teriyaki?
Well, maybe I get my food first and then talk to him later.
Das ist eine ausgesprochen spannende Frage. Essen ist natürlich existenziell.
That is an extremely exciting question. Food is existential. Every person needs it. Social interactions are just the icing on the cake, so to speak. So there I am skeptical. If I was really absolutely starving, like if I hadn't eaten for the last 24 hours or so, then it's tough to say what I'd do. I'd probably talk to her regardless, though, because if you had an extra 5 minutes or so between the nutritional intake and this personal interaction, then it's not a question of life or death. Not normally, anyhow. So let me put it this way. I'd be way more angry at myself if I'd seen the woman of my dreams, if it was love at first sight, and then after eating she disappeared off to God knows where. Then I'd be furious at myself.
So nach der Devise Liebe auf den ersten Blick und nach dem Essen wäre sie in alle Himmelsrichtungen verschwunden, dann hätte ich mich wahrscheinlich tierisch geärgert.
Rosemarie und 68 Jahre.
Rosemarie... If you want to eat food, you're really hungry, and there's a nice-looking man standing right next to you who wants to talk to you, what do you do?
When I'm hungry, I'm hungry. There could be a really good-looking guy standing there, but I'm still hungry.
There's no exception, no matter how good-looking that guy is?
Selbst Cristiano Ronaldo?
What am I supposed to do with him? I mean, it really does depend on the situation. Eye contact to start with. Then you see what develops from there. But spontaneously? I guess if I really were to get caught up in it, then I'd definitely go to talk to him. I'm a very open person. But my hunger is still priority number one. I'm not too good at holding a conversation when I've got an empty stomach.
Dann ist mein Hunger allerdings zuerst mal dran. Mit knurrendem Magen kann man sich schlecht unterhalten. Oder nicht? Stimmt.
Yeah, so those were just some of the Germans that we talked to in at the food court of a super mall.
A good mall.
Yeah, at the food court, a bunch of very different answers to a question that forces you to differentiate between, you know, the nuances of a situation like that. If you have a chance, you're hungry to fill your plate with food, but then you're also kind of getting flirted with. Which do you choose and why? And it does depend on, you know, how good is the food, or how hungry am I, or how good is that person, or how interested am I? All of those things, they seem so different. And it turns out that those two feelings, there's some sort of connection between the hunger and the sexual interest, and it comes back to a hormone in your brain.
Yeah. This, up to this point, no one knew this. This is a first for neuroscience. It's a discovery that a hormone inside the hypothalamus, the deep part of the limbic system of your brain, that it regulates both hunger and sex drive. That when your brain is flooded by this hormone, it tells you, I'm no longer hungry, regardless of how hungry you are. But it also turns on sex drive at the same time.
Right.
At least that's what happened with mice. So they were working with mice, and they essentially starved mice and then flooded them with this hormone, and it had very different and interesting results. Well, we got Anna
yeah,
Petzold
yeah.
in the studio to tell us more about what happened and what her team discovered when looking at these mice.
Okay, imagine your mouse.
Yeah.
Nice big cage, you have food, you have something to drink there, you have other mice there.
Pretty good life.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good life.
Pretty
chill. All the good things are in there. And then you have to decide, like mouse has to decide, okay, what do I do first, right? Do I go eat? Do I go have a drink? Do I go hang out?
And you're telling me in the instances when mice are kind of hungry, when they've been on the diet for the one day, that they have an individuality. Some mice are this way and some mice are this way. Yeah. Until you manipulate their brain with a hormone?
Exactly. It's a hormone that they all normally express. They all produce. We as humans, we also produce it, actually. It's called leptin.
So if I've eaten enough, let's say I'm a mouse, my body sends leptin signals into my brain.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, stop with the whole hunger thing. We're fine. You don't need food. Chill
exactly.
out. Suppress the hunger. Leptin
exactly.
suppresses the hunger impulse.
Exactly. And we can also test that experimentally. So we can give a mouse leptin and then see how that changes behavior. And usually what we see is that animals will eat less when we give them leptin. And what we saw additionally, which was quite exciting, is that animals, they do not just eat less, but these promotes another behavior, which is social and sexual interaction.
Can we compare what you found with these mice to human beings at one point, just for illustration, just for the sake of illustration, and say that you starve Connor and me for a day. And on that next day, because we're more hungry, we would normally go for food over social interaction with another human being. But if our brains were, I don't know,
flooded with leptin.
Flooded with leptin. We might not do that.
Yeah, you have a behavioral conflict, right? You can't go for both the burger and your crush at the same time. Yeah? So you have a behavioral conflict. You have to decide between these two things because you can't do it both at the same time. Whether the balance is in favor of the food or is in favor of the crush, that depends on many aspects, one of them being how hungry you are. And if you take away the hunger pressure, that leaves a lot of room for the attractiveness of your crush to pursue, essentially.
Mm.
So when leptin was discovered decades ago, the initial idea was that, oh, great, we have a satiety hormone. Wonderful. Let's give that to obese patients. Mm. They will eat less. That'll be great.
What happened?
The problem with many drugs is that the body desensitizes to them. Right? You give a drug, the body desensitizes. You have to give more and more of the drug for it to work, or it stops working completely at some point. And for leptin, that's true as well.
I was just going to say, recently in the news, I haven't confirmed this because I'm not sure I can. I believe the names Elon Musk, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They use Ozempic.
Yes, these are the hormonal drugs, GPL-1. Yeah. Targeting, that's what I find interesting about your research is there you have a hormone, a different one, that is sending a signal to your body saying, I'm full, stop. It's an injectable, right? This
it's
medication.
It's injectable, exactly.
Injectable medication. And yet that one seems to work. And in your case, leptin wouldn't work.
Yeah, so in humans, this has been trialed. In humans, we have the problem of leptin resistance. So this is why if you want to use leptin as a drug, you would have to use it in combination with other drugs in order to circumvent the leptin resistance effect.
Well, yeah. that in the fact that in this particular case, the drug would be promoting weight loss and possibly hypersexuality. I'm not sure how many people out there necessarily want both. Like, yeah, one of the, I'll take the weight loss, please, or hypersexuality. But you know, the whole it's a strange combination in this case.
Be an important side effect to mention.
Oh, it'd be on those ads that go on for 18 minutes about all the side effects. Side effects include.
What was the goal of this research? Any grandiose aspirations of unlocking the mystery of human desire? Or are you going to stick?
We were not expecting to see that the cells we were looking at were involved in sociosexual behaviors. We were quite surprised about that. So, the brain region that we were looking at, the lateral hypothalamus, is known to regulate eating behavior, also drinking behavior. It is not known to regulate social behaviors at all. And we don't know of other brain regions in the human brain or in the mouse brain that would regulate both eating and social behaviors at the same time. It's very surprising.
And this is a first for neuroscience. Nobody knew this yet.
No.
Has this changed the way you look at someone who's taking a big bite of a burrito? I'm serious. It's because it's changing it for me. If I imagine a buffet or a social situation, people, without even realizing it, you're making choices. A part of your brain is making choices for you, and you're not even conscious of it.
Even on instinctual stuff like hunger and sex and thirst, those are choices? Can you even say that?
Yeah, I would definitely say they are choices. I would be coming back rather to the sex differences idea. It does make me think about why is it that typically, I don't know how much you have to food deprive a man, so he would rather go for the burger rather than his crush. But women, it's usually the other way around. It does make me wonder about that quite a bit.
So how starving would the male have to be to ignore a sexual opportunity, basically? Completely famished, hasn't eaten for 2.5 weeks, and still makes a pass at whoever he's trying to
essentially
win over.
Essentially.
Yeah, Anna, thank you for joining us in studio today to talk about mice. What is your tip for people out there, all of our listeners who've just taken a deep dive into the mouse brain? What can they take away from your research?
I think I have a single pro tip in the dating department. Go have dinner first.
So everyone,
wait, never go on a date on an empty stomach.
If you go on a date,
because don't you eat
don't go on,
the
on
date?
A don't go on an empty stomach, or do go out to eat first.
Okay, eat first.
Eat first.
Eat first,
and you know,
eat first and see what happens later.
Science.